The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." You may be seated. God makes known his glory in Jesus. It's an epiphany, or literally a theophany, a divine revealing, manifesting with this child named Jesus. The star was pointing magi to him. That's what they saw as they visited the young child and fell down and worshiped him. An epiphany was before their eyes. God himself was in the flesh, dwelling among his people. And Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king who is the Christ. None other than God himself who came and redeemed the world as the prophets long foretold. Now, just as an aside, a word about wise men and magi. It's always tempting on this Sunday to, as one professor who's now retired in the commentary on Concordia, the Concordia Commentary series says, the best Christmas pageant never told, where you, Epiphany, you can use as the Sunday just to take your nativity scenes and wreak havoc with it with various things. You know, one of my daughters, I won't tell you which one, can tell you're a daughter of a pastor when her nativity scene that she had up, she started off with the angel talking to Mary, then she put Joseph laying down, and the angel talking to Joseph another day, and then the magi, the wise men, they have not been present, right, until then Epiphany or coming those things. So that's what she did, right, pastor's kids. But this word that's used here, magi, is an important thing. We don't know much about magi other than what we hear in the Greek Old Testament in Daniel chapter 2. And they were in the service of King Nebuchadnezzar. When Daniel, we see those things. So the point being in this here is that when the text says, "Behold, wise men came," it says, "Behold, magi came." And the hearers of this gospel would have been surprised. They would have heard this and like, wait, what, magi? Why are magi coming to worship Jesus? The magi were Gentiles. They weren't of the house of Israel. They weren't Jews. They were men from a foreign land, and somehow they learned of the star rising to point to the Messiah. They could have received this word from Daniel during the exile. They could have had God's word from another source. They could have simply revealed this. God simply could have revealed this to them in some supernatural way, as that would have not been unusual at this point. I mean, God puts a star in the sky. before the surrounding the birth of Jesus. But what remains is that these men were Gentiles and they followed God's word to find where the Lord was to be found. So what happens then is nothing short of miraculous. We hear, and going into the house, they saw the child, that word child is used there, with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So these magi, how many there were, we don't know, were Gentiles and they worshiped Jesus. And for us in 2026, that might not sound so surprising, but for the readers of Matthew's gospel, that's astounding. Now, the epistle reading today has this to say and reveals to us what has happened now that Jesus has come and he has accomplished his work. Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, and who was accused of elevating the Gentiles to the same level and standing as the Jews, wrote this by divine inspiration. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So Jesus is the new Israel, or even Israel reduced to one. He is the fulfillment of all that was spoken to Israel, and he is the temple not made with hands. So Epiphany celebrates this as you hear these words today in the readings and you see the visit of the Magi before Jesus. It teaches you and shows you the all-encompassing nature, mercy, and purpose of the birth of the Lord that would see this lived out in the church through ages. At the end of Matthew's gospel, when Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So finally, this will all see its culmination in the last day at that image in Revelation when St. John saw this vision of heaven and he said, "After this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" So the Savior of the nations has come. Arise. Shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So you are the people of God, and what makes you the people of God is rather who makes you the people of God. The Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel to see Jesus for who he is, your Savior, your Lord. He has revealed this to you. He's called you to this faith and he has gathered you and all his people together as his holy body, the church. And the significance of this can't be overstated at Epiphany. And there's a common misconception, especially among modern American Protestants, that God's chosen people are the political entity that is the nation of Israel, and that they somehow have a special place in God's kingdom. The name of this false teaching is called Zionism. The equation with Israel, though, is the modern state of Israel now, not the new Israel, who's the fulfillment of the old covenant and God's people by faith in Christ. And it's a big deal today that many American evangelicals want Israel to play a significant, if not primary, role in American foreign policy. There's funds set up by some American megachurches and leaders and organizations and resources that are ready for Israel to regain segments of the land, to recapture the Temple Mount, and even a whole organization. They have websites for these things. You can go down a lot of rabbit trails and waste a lot of time looking at this stuff, to rebuild the temple, and they've been training priests to start up sacrifices once again once the temple is rebuilt. Now, these groups differ in their reasoning, but a common thread among it all is that Israel as an entity, just even a political entity, has a special significance. So in terms of their theology of the end times, some groups think that they have to rebuild the temple, that they have to establish a throne and a kingdom, or Jesus won't return. Others think Israel holds a special place in God's heart, that they are his people who must be protected and will always have a special place and to a remnant preserved as a nation. And you can find as many ideas as you can even come up with floating around as well. That's not the historic teaching of the Christian church. It's not the biblical teaching. You'll also hear, piggybacking off of that, that Jews and Christians share Judeo-Christian values or a similar faith. And what the purpose of this often is, it gets taken to the conclusion then that Jews and Christians worship the same God. The faith of the people of the Old Testament, however, what the scriptures teach us, their faith, the people of the Old Testament, that's your faith. So modern day Jews, as the religion of Judaism is, have departed from the faith. They've rejected everything the Old Testament was pointing to, everything that God promised, everything that is fulfilled in Christ. So Abraham is your father. We hear this in Lent. As are all the prophets and patriarchs, Moses, Joshua, all of these people, they're your brothers and fathers in the faith. And Gentiles make this claim as they are sons of Abraham, like you, by what? Faith in Christ. The epistle reading for the circumcision in name of Jesus on January 1st said this in Galatians 3, "But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." The letter to the Romans, chapters 9, 10, and 11, among other places, are very clear in addressing this all and who is the true Israel and what makes one a part of God's people. What makes someone a part of God's people is the Word of God, and the Word of God creates faith in Christ. So regardless of where someone comes from in the world, what language they speak, the color of their skin, or who their ancestors can be traced back to, Christ came to redeem all people. And Jews coming from that background in the New Testament time and Gentiles were brought together in the same church. Together, they make up the new Israel. And you are included in this as you are God's chosen people. The chosen people of God are you. You're the church. So celebrating Epiphany is hearing and knowing that Christ came for you and that even Magi came and fell down and worshiped Jesus. So the light of the world, then, is your light. Jesus said in John's gospel, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." You have the light and life today as Jesus has redeemed you. You are where Jesus is, and he is for you even now. So the darkness that is sin, death, and the devil are driven out by the blood of Christ, which has been shed for you, and baptized into Christ, you have all that Jesus has done. You have a circumcision of the heart and call those who faithfully follow God's word your brothers and sisters in Christ. So an epiphany, a theophany, a divine revealing is here. God is revealed in Christ, and his light shines upon you. Because we sinners need Jesus every day. It's a mystery to be sure that God would take on human flesh and blood in order to be the Savior of the world, to save the people who turned against him, but this is what he has truly done in Christ. Unless you grow apathetic, lazy, or hostile toward Jesus, the Lord preaches to you today through his word As you see, these magi came from a great distance in order to see the King of Kings. Jesus was made known to them, and they wanted to be where he was found. God's light is calling you to fall down before him in repentance, to behold in awe the mystery that he has upon you, or mercy that he has upon you. In your life, where the world is darkened by sin, misery, death, destruction, and the devil prowling around, Jesus shines forth the light of eternal life. And he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." His light shines upon you and says, "Cast your sin, cast your cares, your fears, your doubts aside, and find in me forgiveness, consolation, peace." He makes this known to you, and you behold your Lord and meet him now, not in the arms of Mary, not as a child sitting in her lap, but as you hear his word, you receive his sacraments. Epiphany is such a wonderful day for the Christian church, and really goes even back, was connected with the celebration of Christmas, one of the oldest holidays in the Christian church. We give thanks to God for his infinite mercy and his grace shown to the nations in the all-encompassing work of his perfect life and his atoning death as he accomplished salvation and is preached by his glorious resurrection. And as you sit here today, and the Lord comes and says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Rejoice, dear people of God. God has revealed himself as the Savior of the world, and you are his people with your fellow heirs in Christ. The Magi came, worship Jesus, and you worship him today as you receive his means of grace. He gives you salvation in this means, forgiving your sin and giving you eternal life. And there's great beauty then in this image that you have in Matthew 2 and 11 and the whole gospel reading for Epiphany. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down on their faces and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Martin Luther once said, "These magi here in this reading teach us the true faith. They followed the word and went to where Jesus was found, even as they endured a great journey and the schemes of Herod. To see these Gentiles fall before the Lord, not in the splendor of a palace, but with his mother as a child, is a beautiful thing. That Jesus took on human flesh and dwells among us is beautiful. God is not against you in Christ, because he has become man and his glory is manifested in his life, his suffering, and his death for you. And he has risen from the dead and proclaims this all for you. How beautiful it is for you to follow the Magi's example of faith and go where your Lord is found, and to find rest for your weary souls and the one who laid his head to rest on the lap and bosom of his mother and bowed his head in death for you and raised his head again in the glory of the resurrection. Behold, the Lord, the ruler, has come, and the kingdom and the power and the glory are in his hand. And rejoice in the light, who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And so now, even as you go through this world, your light is lightened by Christ, who is the light of the world. And not even death can darken your life, because you belong to Jesus. Fear not, and find rest in him who is your Redeemer, who has redeemed you and has made you his holy people, who has forgiven you your sins. What an epiphany it is to know God, as he has revealed himself to you and continues to manifest himself in your life as you hear his word and receive his sacraments. Your life in Christ is an epiphany lived out in the world until that day when you will see the Lord unveiled in glory. That future epiphany will be a glorious day that will never end, where all the saints from all nations fall down before the Lamb on his throne and rejoice in the salvation he has given to you freely. Epiphany now and epiphany to come. But the same Lord who is the first and last, the end in the beginning. To him alone be the glory now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.